Bibles, you would, Genesis chapter number 16. Chapter 16. Remember, as we will be gone this weekend, we're going to go and we get together for a Christmas thing, and we'll be down in Tennessee, and Brother Sisson will be here. I hope you all have water by the end. If not, have them carry a few buckets for you. Chapter 16. And let me do say this, all jokes aside. Chris requests prayer for Brother and Sister Broughton a lot. And Brother Sisson and Mary both are getting a lot of age on them too. They're not getting any younger, and he's had a lot of issues, and so do lift them up in prayer too. And plus, went through losing their son, and some of you know what that's like. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord's judge between me and thee." And Abram said unto Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." Now notice, it's the angel of the Lord said, "I will do it." Now, the angel of the Lord here was Jesus. Before he came to the earth, born as a baby, several times in the Old Testament, we find him referred to as the angel of the Lord when he would appear. He would appear to people. Now, you can always tell later on, or back in Genesis, where chapter 3 and verse 9, and then chapter 19 and 18, when he's going to appear and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There's three angels that appears. One of them, Jesus. He allows Abraham to bow and worship him. None of the other angels would do that. None of the other angels said that they would do something like this. Only the Lord had the power to do that. Amen. And so he told her that he was going to multiply her seed. Look in verse number 11. The angel of the Lord said unto her, "Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild child man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren." And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Wherefore the well was called Beer-lehi, Roy, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Now, that name means the well of the one who lives and sees me. In verse number 15, Hagar bare Abram a son. Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now, Let's look and see a couple things. Just because you are one of God's people, just because you are saved, doesn't mean that there's a limit on what you will do and won't do. Abraham here, he had done many wonderful things. By faith, God came to him and he left that God would make his seed like the stars of the sky and the sands of the earth. He left his own people. He left his own land. He went out to begin a people for God. Of course, the people that he would begin would be the Jews. And he would begin the nation of Israel. And God made him many promises. As a matter of fact, God promised him in chapter 12 that those that will bless you, I will bless. Those that will curse you, I will curse. I've often said this, and you've heard me say it many times. I believe America's prosperity, one of the greatest reasons is the friendship that we have showed and the protection that we have given to Israel. I'm glad that God moved upon the heart of our current president to stand bold for Israel. Even though he catches a lot of flack, you can always tell where the spirit of Antichrist is. When someone does something that's biblical, then all of a sudden, and I'm not even sure the president knows what he's doing. I'm not even sure he understands how biblical he is. But God moved upon his heart to do something and take a strong stand. And he has made a Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And he has moved embassy over there, which has caused a worldwide reaction in the United Nations. And there's no greater antichrist place in all the world than there is the United Nations. It's by as wicked of a place as they can come. I don't understand for the life of me why that we allow all these heathens to come into this country. We give them immunity. They come in here and they break our laws. They rape women. They do all kinds of things. Then they pack up and go back home. And they're above law. I think that's crazy. And I think it's a shame. And I think it's a shame that we have congressmen and senators that has allowed that to happen and has not put a stop to that a long time ago. But anyway, getting back to this, we find that Abraham did commit a sin. Sometime before this, he'd went down to Egypt. You know the story? And when he went down to Egypt, he pretended like his wife was his sister. And Pharaoh wanted Sarah to be his wife because she was so good looking. And of course, you remember the story, how that God came to him and prevented him from taking her. But had it not been for that, and sometimes we do something, and we say, well, there's no consequences. Now, it had been some 10 years. But now, Hagar was a result of Egypt. When Abraham come out of Egypt, he brought Hagar with him to be a handmaid to Sarah. Had he not ever went down to Egypt, there would have been no Hagar. There would have been no birth. But anyway, you know the story how that here we find that Sarah wanted a child. God had promised a child, and she wanted a child. So she decided to get ahead of God and figure out how to get a child. So what she did was she came and she said God had kept her from having children, so therefore she wanted Abraham to take her handmaid and that she would have a child, and it would be her child. Somebody said, I don't understand that. Well, when you go back and kind of study a little bit about it, there's a couple things. Number one, in society back then, women who did not have children was looked down upon. They were mocked. They were made fun of. Now we have women that chooses not to. We have some women that physically can't do it. But here, Sarah, where she didn't have a child, she knew that she was looked down upon in society. She also knew that God had promised her one, so she decided to jump ahead of God and figure out a way to get one. And so she gave Abraham her handmaid to marry. Well, it was kind of like a concubine wedding. A concubine would have a child, but yet the child would legally be the first wife's child. So Sarah wanted him to have a child with Hagar, but she was going to claim the child. That was what they did then, the custom during that time. And so they didn't think anything of having multiple marriages. Society didn't. Even though God frowned upon it, society didn't. And so we find Sarah and Abraham kind of went right along. And you know, Sarah, she was on to Abraham about this. And Abraham just gave in to her and did it. And then, of course, once Hagar bare a child and conceived, then she, the Bible says, she lifted up herself with pride, and it made Sarah mad. So then Sarah went and blamed Abraham. That sounds familiar. Sarah made a decision. She wanted him to do it. Then she got mad at Abraham. Then she got mad at God for doing it. And he did what she did. But Abraham, instead of telling her no, he went along with her. Now, in doing that, the Bible tells us that here that Hagar was an Egyptian. And again, when you read it, you understand that she came out of Egypt. Now, the promise had been given to Abraham that he would have these children. And he just couldn't figure out how. And he was getting older, and Sarah was barren. And so they decided to go ahead and bring this up. Now, when you look, then when she had conceived and become pregnant, notice her reaction. Abraham just kindly, he acted like he had no responsibility at all in it. Sarah came to him and blamed him a little bit about it. And Abraham just acted like it wasn't his fault. And he had nothing to do with it. And so he just told Sarah to deal with it however she wanted to deal with it. And so Sarah was pretty hard upon Hagar. Now, if you look at Sarah here, she reacted by being tough on Hagar. And when she was tough on Hagar, Hagar fled. And then you find that she was tough on Abraham, and she's also blaming God. And so she went ahead, and Hagar then ran away. And that's where the story toward the end that we find that I want to bring about. But I do want to say this before I do. All of a sudden, the angel of the Lord found her. And that's with Jesus. And I want you to note something. And I was listening to what Crystal was saying about Brightly and what Beth was saying about Cole. Those of you that have had little ones, children, that's gone through, and I know Greg and Kathy has gone through, and some of the rest of you have too, in different ways and different fashions. I know Clarice, when she was born, was about a pound and a half, and you all went through a terrible time with her. Several people here has gone through things with your children. It's tough. But there's one good thing to know. Here was Hagar, an Egyptian, a heathen. She was kind of forced in the situation. Yes, she lifted herself up with pride. Yes, she did some things, but you got to understand, she was in a situation where Sarah came to her. She put her in the tent with Abraham. And, of course, she conceived, and so Sarah was kind of aggravated that God allowed her to conceive and have children. But when she got there, then the Lord told Sarah, or told Hagar a couple things about this sick child. He said that she was going to bear a son to call his name Ishmael. He was going to be a wild man. He was going to be wild to everybody that lives around him. He was going to live in the midst of his brethren. Now, those of you who know, and I've taught studies on this before without getting in much, the Arab people all came from Ishmael. Ishmael had 12 princes, just like Jacob had 12 sons. The Arab people and the Islam, their religion goes to Abraham through Ishmael. Had it not been for Abraham and Sarah's sin, there wouldn't have been an Ishmael. But Ishmael was going to grow to be a wild people. And they are wild. You see them showed on TV, a bunch of Arabs over there. I'm glad our president has finally got somebody in there that says, listen, you treat us like dirt, we quit writing checks. It's about time to do that. I never have figured out why those people that spit in our face, threatened to bomb us, threatened to kill us, and wanted us eliminated off the face of the earth, while we kept building our military up. It just didn't make sense with me. And it's the most foolish thing I ever saw in my life. And of course, he's catching a little heat over it, but he don't seem to care, and I'm glad he doesn't care. But I'm saying this. I'm saying if you want to burn our flags, you want to threaten us, and you want to spit in our face, let somebody else write your checks for a while. That's the way I look at it. But anyway, getting off on that, I'm just telling you that the Arab people is a crazy people. That's why they'll kill themselves. You can't protect yourself against Islam. That's why I agree with the president. You got to do everything in the world to keep them out of the country. If they get in here and they are those hyper-Islamic ones, what they'll do is they blow themselves up. They count it a privilege to get in the midst of a bunch of children and just blow everybody up. They have no conscience about nothing. You can't threaten somebody that doesn't have a conscience about that. And so what they do is they're willing to just kill themselves. You know, when we fought with Hitler in Japan, the cosmic pilots, that's what was dangerous about them. They would commit suicide coming into the ships. I mean, they'd come and fly right into the ship with a plane. It's hard to, you know, most time you scare people off by shooting bullets at them. But when they're not afraid of dying, they're going to die. It kind of makes it tough. Well, the Bible predicted that Ishmael and all his descendants would be a wild people. But there would be a lot of people. And they are a lot of people. They're a big population. But anyway, getting back, notice how this tore up the family of Abraham and Sarah, what it could have been and what it ended up being. But God had a divine plan. He was going to use the children of Ishmael, not that he agreed that she should have a child, but when Abraham and Sarah committed it, then it was part of God's plan to utilize. He already had that foreknowledge, the knowing that was going to take place. And so therefore, he did that. And so when he came to Hagar, and it is a wonderful thing to know, she called his name because she didn't understand all about this angel of the Lord, but she knew that he saw and he heard everything. As a matter of fact, Ishmael's name meant that she was heard of God when she was praying and she was seeking something. She didn't know what to do. So some of you mothers don't give up faith. Don't give up. Because you need to understand, God does hear. Sometimes it seems that it's a long time in coming. Now, he told her to go back, and she went back for 13 years. Ishmael was there until Sarah had a child, and his name was Isaac, and he was doing some things to Isaac, and then they fled again. But now, notice here just a moment that the angel of the Lord, when he come, in verse number... Let me hop over there. Verse number 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed. It shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall call the name, and shall bear a son, call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? And of course she named also the well there, He that liveth and seeth me. What I wanted to bring out tonight from this as well is this. The Lord knows everything.
Yes, amen.
He sees all.
Amen.
He knew exactly where she was at. He knew exactly who she was. Now, she was a heathen Egyptian handmaid. He knew what her future was going to be. He knew everything. And can I say this? That he doesn't know any less about you. Everything about you, he knows. He knows because of who he is. He is God, the all-knowing one. He knows the end from the beginning. Now, some people has created a hyper-Calvinist religion where they pretend like God not only knows everything, but that he makes you do something or he makes you not do something. But we know that's not true, because the Bible makes it clear in the book of James that God would never tempt you to do evil. But God knows when you're going to do something. And he sees. And he's all-knowing because of who he is. He's also all-knowing because of where he is. He's everywhere. There's not a place that you'll ever be that he's not there. And Crystal, it brings comfort to know that the Lord knows all about Brightly. Knows where she is. And you say, I don't know what to do. And sometimes that's when God moves the rest. That's why we all need to pray about it and lift it up, that God will open up a door to let it happen. But I do want you to know this, that God, he sees all because of who he is. He also sees all because of where he is. He also sees all because of what he can do. He can do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can God not do anything? Isn't it amazing that we have a God that can do all things? And all of that, but also we think about how that he fits everything into his purpose. Even when we mess up, the Bible says, for we know that all things work together. How many of you ever really made a gum in your life with something that you did? Isn't it amazing how God can take it and make something good out of it? You say, well, I don't understand how God made something good out of this. He brought Isaac. Through Isaac comes salvation. Salvation's of the Jews. Through the Jews, God brought, through Abraham, the seed of Abraham, God taught us many things, brought a people, brought the law that was our schoolmaster, brought Christ, which was our Savior. We have a lot to be thankful for. Did God approve of what Abraham and Isaac did, or Sarah did? No. Did it cause him misery? Yes. Did he bring something good out of it? Yes. You know why? That's how he does. It's his purpose. When he says, I don't know how everything's going to happen in the end, but I know it's going to happen just the way he says it's going to happen. Now, I know there's going to be people that plays in it, but I know this. I have a choice for this guy right here. I can choose to be saved and go to heaven, or I can choose to reject and refuse to believe and die and go to hell. I'm glad I settled that question a long time ago. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I'm always going to be where God wants me to be. Have I made a gum like Abraham? Yes. Will I probably make another in life? Yes. But I'm glad that God knows all. Notice here that he sees you personally. He knew Hagar, everything about. His knowledge of us is perfect. We hide nothing from God. It's kind of scary sometimes when you know that God knows everything about you. But then when you really need him, it's good to know that he knows everything about you. It can be thrilling and threatening both. There's sometimes when the knowledge, the fact that God knows everything, it scares me. Because I know, and the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God's even greater than the heart. You know what that means? It means the things that we know about us that bothers us, God knows a lot more than that about us. He knows us perfectly. You say, I don't have a chance. See, that's where you're wrong. God came to Hagar, a heathen Egyptian, bearing the son of Abraham. And thank God, and he knew all about her. He saw her suffering. He saw her pain. And therefore, he comes. The Bible says that he is ever present in the time of trouble. The Bible says that when we have him of greatest needs, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. What I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is this. The Lord hasn't changed. And there sometimes it seems out of our hands. But I would encourage you to do this. Now, I know sometimes we pray, but sometimes we don't pray as we ought to pray.
Amen. Amen.
And on some of these things we ought to lift up. But I can assure you this. God knows. God sees because that's who he is. He's always been.
Amen.
And so you don't have to fret about why. Sometimes we say, why, God? Why? God has a purpose. But we also know that God can intervene. And so, therefore, we just have to turn to God. And even in the midst of all these failures, Hagar found that God was still a God who saw and heard when she was in trouble and when she was truly suffering. He heard and saw her need and came and spoke to her and gave her directions in life. And so let's remember, he's never very far away. And what a true friend that we truly have in Jesus. Amen. Let's stand tonight, give a song of invitation.
Amen.